जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपीजन बल्लभा गिरिवर नारी, जय गोपीजन बल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, जमुना तीरावन चारु, जमुना पीरावन चारु, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय, अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय, नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय, श्री रूप श्री सनातन भट्ट रघुनाथ श्रीजीव गोपाल भट्ट दास रघुनाथ सर्वस्वामी प्रभुगान की जय, प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाशदि गौर भक्तवृंद की जय, श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरी गोवर्धन की जय, श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय, श्री मथुरा धाम की जय, श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय, श्री मायापुर नवद्वीप धाम की जय, गंगा माई की जय, यमुना माई की जय, भक्ति देवी की जय, तुलसी महारानी की जय, हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय, ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय, समवेत भक्तवृंद की जय, गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द एक्सेलेंट डिवोटीज, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatta ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये, नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया, भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर भवती नैष्टिकी।
हरे कृष्ण वशिष्ठ भागवतम द फिफ्थ कैंटो No, not that one. Anyway, is it? Okay. Hare Krishna. So today we are concluding our seminar that we have been conducting for the last 2 days. Brahmacharya. Since I'll be leaving this afternoon, it was decided that I would give that class, the conclusion of the seminar today, the Bhagavatam class. So we will conclude what we discussed in the last 2 days with Lord Rishabhdev's teachings to his sons. This has been described in the fifth canto, fifth chapter. So the verse that has been written on the board is the first verse of the fifth chapter of fifth canto. Rishabha Ubacha Nayam Deho Deho Bhajan लोके कष्टान कामान अर्हते वीरभुजान जे ततो विद्यां पुत्रका येना सत्वं शुद्धे यस्मात् ब्रह्मसौख्यं तु अनन्तम्। ऋषभ उवाच नायं देह देह भाजं नायं देह देह भाजं मूलके नायं देह देह भाजं नीलके कष्टान कामान अर्हते वीरभुजं जे तपो दिव्यं पुत्रकायेन सत्वं शुद्धेद यस्माद् ब्रह्मसौख्यं त्वनन्तम्। नायं देहो देहो भाजं नीलके कष्टान कामान अर्हते वीरभुजं जे तपो दिव्यं पुत्रकायेन सत्वं शुद्धेद यस्माद् ब्रह्मसौख्यं त्वनन्तम्। नायं देहो देहो भाजं नीलके कष्टान कामान अर्हते वीरभुजं जे तपो दिव्यं पुत्रकायेन सत्वं शुद्धेद यस्माद् ब्रह्मसौख्यं त्वनन्तम्। Lord Rishabhdev said, now, not, I am, this, deha, body, deha bhajan, of all
non-living entities who have accepted material bodies, nīloke, in this world, kashtan, troublesome, kaman, sense gratification, arhate, deserves, beat bhujam, of stool eaters, ye, which, tapaha, austerities and penances, vidyam, divine, putraka, my dear son, jena, by which, satvam, the heart, suddhet, becomes purified, jasmat, from which, brahma saukham, spiritual happiness, two, certainly, anantam, unending. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Lord Rishabdev told his sons, my dear boys, of all the living entities who have accepted material bodies in this world, one who has been awarded this human form should not work hard day and night simply for sense gratification, which is available even for dogs and hogs at its stool. One should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position of devotional service. By such activity, one's heart is purified, and when one attains this position, he attains eternal, blissful life, which is transcendental to material happiness and which continues forever. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, Lord Rishabdev tells his sons about the importance of human life. The word Dehubhak refers to anyone who accepts a material body. But the living entity who is awarded the human form must act differently from animals. Animals like dogs and hogs enjoy sense gratification by eating stool. After undergoing severe hardship all day, human beings are trying to enjoy themselves at night by eating, drinking, having sex and sleeping. At the same time, they have to properly defend themselves. However, this is not human civilization. Human life means voluntary practicing, offering for voluntarily practicing sufferings for the advancements for spiritual life. There is, of course, suffering in the lives of animals and plants, which are suffering due to their past misdeeds. However, human beings should voluntarily accept suffering in the form of austerities and penances in order to attain the divine life. After attaining the divine life, one can enjoy happiness eternally. After all, every living entity is trying to enjoy happiness. But as long as one is engaged in a material body, he has to suffer different kinds of misery. A higher sense is present in the human form. We should act according to superior advice in order to attain eternal happiness and go back to Godhead. So, Rishabdev is advising, giving his parting advice to his sons. Rishabdev was the king of the earth planet, and he was about to leave home to take to Vanaprastha order of life. He was leaving behind his kingdom, his family, his wealth, his palace, everything. He was just about to walk away without anything. He wasn't going to take any money or any foodstuff even with him. He would just leave home and start walking towards the forest. That is the Vedic culture. Vedic culture is founded on detachment and renunciation. And Rishabdev, although he was a king, he did not hesitate to just walk away. one fine morning. But before he left, he is giving his advice, the final advice to his children. He had 100 sons. Of them, Bharat Maharaj, who became the successor to the throne, was the eldest. And out of the 100 sons, 9 became Navajogendras. Their activities will be described in the later part of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto. So, Rishabhdev, while he is giving his advice, the first thing he tells his sons, my dear boys, do not become involved in unnecessary self-gratification in your material nature. Especially now that you got this human form of body, now that you got this human form of life, you must use this facility for your spiritual advancement. Nayam deha, deha bhajan niloke. And kashtan kaman arhati birbhujanje. A man, after so much struggle, when he indulges in sense gratification, he should actually consider that these sense gratifications are available even to the animals. Those were just stool-eating animals. So the things that are the facilities or the sense gratification that is available even for the very, very degraded stool-eating animals, why should a human being run after that? Actually, Birbhujan, when this word is used, the stool eaters, do you know, one specific animal is indicated by that. Who is that animal? Which one is that animal? The pigs. And do you know what the pigs are famous for? No. When you say someone is a pig, that is there. That is there. Like, eating part is there. But a pig, a man is called a pig. What kind of man? The woman hunter. The man who just runs after women, he is called a pig. Because he thinks his whole life is centered around sex life. So by saying that I'm stool eating animals, there's sense gratification that is available for the stool eating animals, he's actually talking about the pigs who run after sex life all the time. So he's pointing out, why should a human being waste his very special facility that he received in running off the sex life. Rather, tapo dibhyam, one must design his life to perform austerities. And here in the purport, Prabhupada is pointing out, what is actually austerity? Austerity is a voluntary acceptance of difficulties for the sake of spiritual advancement. And that is the definition of austerity. When one voluntarily accepts difficulties, like you can see with Rishabhdev, he was a king, he didn't have any business to go to the forest. But he voluntarily accepted this hardship, this difficulty. Why? Because Rishabhdev considered that staying at home, he could not fix his mind at the lotus feet of Krishna. Because if he stayed at home, since he was a king, people would come with so many different problems. And he also will feel inclined to get involved in these problems. Therefore he decided that this atmosphere is not conducive for my spiritual advancement. So he left everything and went to the forest. So this is austerity. Rishabhdev didn't have to go to the forest.
But he voluntarily accepted that. So that human life is actually meant for that. And how do we actually frame or design our life for spiritual advancement? As we have been discussing last few days, last couple of days in our seminars, the most important factor actually is brahmacharya. Brahmacharya means to become situated in spiritual platform. Brahmacharya just doesn't mean celibacy. Celibacy is just a side effect of brahmacharya, a byproduct of brahmacharya. Devotees don't just want to become celibates. Devotees want to become the lovers of Krishna. Devotees want to become attached to Krishna. And in order to develop that attachment, devotees have to perform certain activities. And those activities, one such activity is to be very careful not to become unnecessarily involved in self-gratification, which ultimately leads to sex life. So, then Rishabh, actually this instruction of Rishabhdev is very important. Now next one, I'll go into the verse 4. We just read the verse 1, and now we go to the verse 4, the advice that Rishabhdev gave to his children in this particular verse. He is saying, Nunam pramakta kurute vikarma jad indriya pritaya apremati na sadhu manne yata atmano ayam asannapi kleshada asadeha. When a person considers sense gratification the aim of life, he certainly becomes mad after materialistic living and engages in all kinds of sinful activities. He does not know that due to his past misdeeds, he has already received a body which, although temporary, is the cause of his misery. Actually, the living entity should not have taken on a material body. But he has been awarded the material body for self-gratification. Therefore, I think it not befitting an intelligent man to involve himself again in the activities of self-gratification by which he perpetually gets material bodies one after another. So here, Rishabhdev is actually pointing out the cause of our material bondage. The cause of our material bondage are our illusion. The material nature creates an illusion. And due to that illusion, we become entrapped in the material nature. So what is that illusion? And the first illusion is to consider this body to be the self. Isn't it? I'm not this body. But I'm thinking that this body is me. That's my illusion. The definition of illusion is to think something to be something that it is not. The body is not me. Body is matter. But I'm thinking this body to be me. That is my illusion. And that's everybody's illusion. And what is the result of this? Then we go to the verse 8. When one becomes trapped to this illusion, thinking that this body is the self, then what happens? Then a male body becomes attracted to a female body, and a female body becomes attracted to a male body. See how the illusion thickens? The first mistake is, I am this body. And the moment I consider myself to be the body, then if I have a male body, this body becomes attracted to a female body. And if I have a female body, this body becomes attracted to a male body. And that is the root of our bondage in this material nature. He is saying in the verse 8, Punshastriya mithuni bhavanetam tayor mitho ridaya granthi mahu ato griha kshetra sutakta vittai janasa moho ayam aham mameti. The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and female, one becomes attracted to his body, home, property, children, relatives and wealth. In this way, one increases his life's illusion and thinks in terms of I and mine. So you see how a living entity becomes bound to this material nature due to the basic attraction for the opposite sex. The whole trouble begins with that. Prabhupada so often used to point out the fact that that we are not this body, we are spirit soul. Why Prabhupada was so emphatic about that point? Because there lies all our material bondage. The moment we begin to identify ourselves with the body, then automatically we become attracted to the opposite sex. And then begins Griha Kshetra Sutapta Vikya. Of course, that civilization was much better, much more advanced, compared to today, what is going on in this world. Wherever you go, there at least they are talking about family life, the relationship between man and wife. But in today's world there is no such relationship. People are not interested in such relationship. They are simply into free mixing and indiscriminate sex life. And everywhere there is the promotion going on. All these big advertisements, what they are telling, what they are teaching, how to become attracted to the opposite sex. So that's why the spiritual culture that Srila Prabhupada has so mercifully given is very, very important to uphold and distribute. Unless and until we practice this process ourselves and distribute it to the others, we are not really performing our duty. Just accepting this process ourselves is not enough. We have to distribute it to others as well. And in Srimad Bhagavatam we find time and time again the same advice is being given. Don't become attached to materialistic life. Don't become attached to your body. Become attached to Krishna. Because there lies the ultimate fulfillment of your existence. Develop your attachment to Krishna. And I conducted this seminar because I felt that there is a need for an in-depth understanding of this responsibility. Like we are already in a material platform, now we have to become situated on the spiritual platform. But brahmacharya actually means to become situated in the spiritual platform. And the importance of that and how to do that, how to become a good brahmachari. Sometimes people, there used to be, I don't know whether it is still prevalent, but in the early days, it appeared to me very strongly, a kind of misconception was there that to be a brahmachari means to hate women. If they are a big brahmachari, therefore you must hate the women. No, it doesn't work. And I have seen, eventually, the biggest women haters were the first ones to fall down. It is not by a negative way that one can make progress. One one must learn to respect women in order to become a true brahmachari. And then also, it is not that only the brahmacharis are meant to be brahmacharis. Prabhupada pointed out that in Krishna consciousness, even the women are also, even the householders are brahmacharis. Those who unite for the sake of procreation, they are also brahmacharis. Just for the sake of procreation, because that is the purpose of sex life. The purpose of sex life is only for the sake of procreation. We see in the nature, animals, when do they unite? Do the animals unite for sense gratification? No. The animals unite only for the sake of procreation. Now, a certain degree of sense gratification has been attached to this act, because otherwise human beings would not indulge in it. Like when something is very painful, do you want to get involved in that act? No. Now, in order to trick you into that act, there is some sense gratification that has been added to it. But the foolish people forget about the actual of purpose, but they just get involved in this activity just for the sake of this flickering sense enjoyment. And the result is they destroy themselves spiritually. Therefore, an intelligent man should understand that sex life is the worst illusion. It is actually an intensely painful affair. But man is thinking, man and women both are thinking, oh, this is so wonderful. It's actually nature's trick to get a man and woman get together. Of course, those days there was no contraceptives. It's by nature's arrangement was that when a man and woman, due to the sex attraction, would unite, then the result would be the progeny. And the progeny, the procreation, is necessary. That's why this arrangement was there. But stupid human beings, led by even more stupid leaders of this society, are thinking that that is the goal of life. And the result is disaster everywhere. But Srila Prabhupada actually brought the sanity to the human society. Prabhupada is allowing an intelligent class of people to transcend this illusory arrangement of this material nature and come to the spiritual platform. And these people, those who actually come to the spiritual platform, they are the only ones who can really benefit the human society. Others cannot. And those who lead their lives centered around sex desire, they can never do anything good for the human society. And they themselves are in illusion, so how will they benefit others? A person who is in illusion, he will lead others into greater illusion. A blind man will take another blind man down the ditch. Can a blind man lead another blind man to the ultimate goal? No, because he himself cannot see. So how can he take anybody to the right destination? Therefore, in order to properly guide the human society, there is a need of people with proper spiritual vision. And that is what Srila Prabhupada actually came to give us. Therefore, in order to understand Srila Prabhupada's mission and to become properly engaged in Srila Prabhupada's mission, we must take to Srila Prabhupada's teachings to heart. And the foundation of the teaching is spiritual life. Therefore, the foundation of the teaching is brahmacharya. And that's why it's so important. And the other day I was mentioning that there are a few reasons why I decided to give this seminar. Generally, in ISKCON, it's natural, rather, one doesn't really want to talk about this topic in public or in a large gathering. They don't want to because they feel that, well, it's... anyway, they feel some sort of sensitivity. At least I used to feel that sensitivity myself. But recently, after the Australian Olympic, Olympic in Australia, I was reading an article that how the coaches train up their athletes, the participants. And one of the thing was that all the coaches are very strict about them refraining from sex life. So even the materialistic people have figured it out. That if you want to achieve something great, then you have to learn to control your sex desire. And then after the class, somebody, one of the devotees here, walked up to me and told me that Muhammad Ali, when he used to have a fight, he was a champion boxer. For 3 months before the fight, he would not indulge in sex life. So here we can see, even those people have figured it out. But the stupid leaders of human society are saying, no, indulge in sex life. That is the ultimate goal of life. So we can see that these bunch of pigs are trying to make the human society into a pig society. But we have to understand that we are here to counteract that. That's our mission. And that's why Srila Prabhupada has designed ISKCON. Whatever they are putting their values on, we are saying no to that. Their whole culture is based on meat eating, we say no. Their whole culture is based on intoxication, we say no. Their whole culture is based on sex life, we say no. The whole culture is based on gambling, we say no. And it's not difficult to understand where they're going, especially when you are in the Western cities, in the Western world, you see. Now what are they promoting? Everywhere they're saying, eat meat, have intoxication, have illicit sex, and indulge in gambling. And actually the biggest business in this world today, the biggest business is actually these four things next to the war industry. The industry building arms, next to that, where the government spend maximum amount of money, that the government is spending the maximum amount of money in producing arms or weapons. But individually, people spend maximum amount of money in eating all kinds of garbage, taking intoxication, having illicit sex, and gambling. Isn't it? If anybody wants to become a successful businessman, if anybody wants to make money, these are the four things. Meat industry, drug industry, or drug smuggling, drug trafficking. That's one of the biggest business now in the West. American government decided to spend $10 billion to stop drug trafficking from South America to North America. But what will they do? Actually, they passed a budget of $10 billion to prevent that. But those who are passing the budget, and they themselves were involved in that industry. So what they will do? This $10 billion will go to their pocket. They don't stop drug trafficking. This is just a hogwash. They will just make people believe, U.S. government is doing so much wonderful things, they're trying to stop drug trafficking. But they'll never be able to stop it. They are the biggest people who are involved in that. In countries like Colombia, the government is involved in this business. In America also. The drugs, prostitution is another business which is so rampant. Like everywhere in the West, there is advertisement. What does it actually mean? It means illicit sex. And gambling, America has cities made on gambling, for the sake of gambling. Las Vegas, Reno, all these places are just places for gambling. Can you imagine in the middle of a desert, they built a city. So how profitable this business must be. And people come from all over the world to lose billions of dollars every day. In gambling, no one wins. It's an illusion that they'll win. They come to lose. So this is the state of affairs today. So what are we here for? We are here to challenge these four sinful activities and stop them. Kali is spreading his influence through these four sinful activities. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is here to defeat Kali, right? Kali is spreading his influence through meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex and gambling. Now why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu come? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to defeat the influence of Kali. So that's why in ISKCON, the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must themselves practice these four regulative principles. No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. And not only they should practice it themselves, they should also stop this in this world. When these four sinful activities become prevalent, we must understand that Kali is waning. When you look around the world today, what do we see? These four activities are becoming very, very prevalent. So what does it signify? Who is waning? Mahaprabhu is waning or Kali is waning? Who is waning? Kali is waning. How many of you believe that Kali is waning? Please raise your hands. So, now, who are you siding with? Are you siding with Kali or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? The Kali spreads adharma, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to spread dharma. So you are siding with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So you are in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's army. Right? And a war is going on between Kali and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's army. Right? So if you're in that army, then what are you going to do? Aren't you going to defeat Kali? So the sign of your victory, the sign of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's victory, will be in defeating these four sinful activities. As Krishna consciousness movement spreads, people will stop indulging in these activities. Isn't it clear? Isn't it common sense? And when there won't be any such activities going on in this world, then we know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had won. Some people will be involved in these activities. Some people would be into meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex and gambling.
But their place will be in the forest, not in the human society. They'll be driven out in the forest. Okay, you want to eat meat? Go in the forest and eat meat there. Hunt the animals and eat their meat. You want to take intoxication? Okay, in the forest, you grow your herbs and drugs and you take that. They will be driven out of the human society into the forest because that is the place where they belong to. Although they got a human body, their mentality is like that of an animal. So the cities are not the place for animals, right? The forest is the place for animals. So those, in spite of getting the human bodies, have the mentality of the animals, let them live in the forest. So that is the objective of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And therefore we must become a qualified and capable soldier in the army of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question, comment? Yes. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, you know. Any other questions? Yes, one is happening. Yeah, in the age of Kali, the saintly people won't go to the forest. They will stay in the biggest cities, the most crowded places, and do harinam. And our forest is Vrindavan. In this age of Kali, we go to Vrindavan and Mayapur. Mayapur actually is a city, but Vrindavan is a forest. And the way the saintly people live also, they may live in a forest, but they don't live like animals. They actually create a very beautiful atmosphere. They select some land on the bank of a river, and there they plant fruit trees and herbs and build their huts. So, a very beautiful description has been given in Ramayana when Lakshman was taking Sita Devi to leave her in the forest. So Sita Devi was so enamored by seeing the hermitage, and there's a beautiful description on the bank of a river, Saraju, there is this hermitage, and the whole atmosphere is so serene. So that is another extreme, like the animals also live in the forest and saints also live in the forest. But the way they live is completely opposite. Yes?
Simple austerity was what they have to perform to invest the Lord. But still, while also living in the temple, we had the chants and the shaman every day, and the bad skills, it wasn't become very easy to pray them. So, to go to the aim in mind, to go back to God,
That's why we have to always remind each other not to become complacent. Right? And become fixed up on our mission.
So we are in the temple, so the devotees should also help each other to become fixed up. It's true, like one tends to become complacent. Have nice prasad, nice place to sleep. So why render any service? Why bother about spiritual advancement? Let's just eat and sleep. But Krishna consciousness is so wonderful that even by eating and sleeping you can go back to Godhead. But then you have to go to Mayapur. In Mayapur, everything you eat is Krishna prasad. And in Mayapur, sleeping equals to offering dandavat. So if you eat prasad, if you eat something in Mayapur, you are honoring Krishna prasad. And if you are sleeping, you are offering obeisances to Krishna. So by doing that, you will derive spiritual benefit.
Without offering this already to Krishna?
You mean without offering this already to Krishna? Yeah. But make sure that it's vegetarian. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.